Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glenn Martin, and Derek O'Connor. Hello and welcome to DNF1. You join us actually for the Bahrain Grand Prix weekend, 8 months late. Derek, are you looking forward to this one? Because let's be honest, we usually look forward to it as the second race of the season, but here we are towards the latter half of the season. Do you think it'll actually make a difference?
Yes, I think there is a good chance there will be some good overtaking, especially with this weekend's midfield battle. That's the main talking point now, seeing all the sort of top ends being sorted, and we know who's finishing first, second. It's still who's going to be third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and Ferrari in seventh. You know, I mean, this is a possibility. It is a possibility.
The thing is, it's true what you say, Derek. I'm probably being a bit harsh on the circuit. Normally, when it's the second race of the season, we do see some great overtaking and some great racing. But I don't think it's because the track, personally, I don't think it's because the track is a great track. I think it's because the track's very wide and the runoff areas, it's pretty much tarmac. So we get close racing, they push them off the track, they get onto some dirty tarmac, but they come back on and they start again. It is a Herman Tilker track. And it does kind of feel that it's a long straight followed by a sharp hairpin, and those are the overtaking opportunities. But that midfield section we have here feels like a bit of a struggle for them to actually follow. Now, Next week we're here again, and it's going to be the outer loop. So turns 4 to 13, they're all gone, and it will basically be turn 4, 5, 6, and then 13 becomes 7. And it will effectively be an oval and a slipstream circuit, but we'll speak about that next week.
A square circle.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's going to be a fast under a minute per lap. But let's talk about this. Sorry, I digress. This particular track, I actually quite enjoy the midfield section. There's not really what we could say a lot of overtaking. That's natural overtaking. It's normally because drivers are being pushed and making mistakes, and we've got a track that, although we've got F2 on this weekend, cleaning the track a bit, it's still quite a sandy, low grip surface in a lot of places. And I didn't think I would ever have to say this, but we had rain this morning on the track, and over the rest of the weekend, we're looking at Saturday as a 20% chance of rain and 40% as we get into Sunday. But that's more down to the time of year that we're actually coming here instead of the early spring we're at this point. As far as tracks go, Herman Tilker's obviously designed this one. We're looking at 57 laps, 5.4 kilometres on the length of the circuit. The main talking point for this weekend really is all about the race for third. Constructors been decided, World Championship drivers been decided, but constructors, that third place, everybody's vying for it. Racing Point, McLaren, Renault and Ferrari are only 24 points off. A distant possibility do you think they could get further up? Ferrari on a bit of a resurgence.
Not this year. Not even if they got 25 points in every race. If they won the next three races, they still wouldn't get up because the backup's not there. You know, Vettel would fall by the wayside and come off on the third corner on the first lap, and or something along them lines. You know, or if Vettel did well, Leclerc could go backwards. They've only got one car between the two of them. And one of them's only got three wheels on it.
Right, well, if we discount Ferrari, even although they are showing signs of improvement, let's say that. They're showing signs of improvement.
I'll give them a chance next year.
The recent point, McLaren-Renault, I see you've got obviously the Renault shirt on there now, Derek. They're sitting at 136 points. It was a pretty bad weekend for them. Racing Point had far, far better. And McLaren, although Sainz moved forward so much, it wasn't as great a weekend as they could have hoped for, because Racing Point...
They should have done better that weekend. McLaren had all the signs of being able to secure that third place at the end of the weekend, but not to be.
I would have to say that if Racing Point don't get third this season because of the car that they actually have and where we know a lot of the designers actually come from, it'll be a bit of a misstep for them if they actually give up third. I think it should have been shoe-in. And we've spoke about it before. where the issue probably lies is maybe more in Stroll's court and consistency and a lack of consistency. He hadn't scored points in the past five races, and then from pole position, he managed to go all the way backwards to ninth and only got a couple of points. The consistency has been on Perez's side of the garage, and even though he's been out with COVID and so on and so forth, he has shown to be the far, far superior driver. That
but
brings
he hasn't
me on
got
to...
the motivation. Other than putting himself in the shop window at the moment, he hasn't got the motivation for the team because they did the dirty on him and got rid of him.
Yeah, when he had a contract. I mean, okay, they're maybe paying him off. Now, Perez has said that if Red Bull don't take him, he's quite happy to be off for a sabbatical. So there's clearly a payoff somewhere that he's happy to sit on the cash. And he will see then what happens thereafter. And it may well be that teams will come calling to his door in 2022 with a new car. That remains to be seen. As for Red Bull, Derek, we've spoke about, again, this over the space of the season and Albon's lack of performance and so on and so forth. And Red Bull still haven't made a decision. Now, although we're three races for the end of the season, if we look at it from a time scale, it's 5 weeks to the end of the year. So drivers' contracts would be at the end of 2020. That's your contract up. They've got 5 weeks to decide. I don't think they're doing Perez any favours, but also don't think they're doing Albon any favours or themselves. Do you think Red Bull is hoping Albon comes good in these three races, which I don't think? He would have to monster them, he'd have to win them. Do you think they're doing it to try and protect the view that their driver programme works? Or do you think it's them trying to get a better deal out of Perez, get Perez cheaper? Or how do you see it?
The Red Bull problem stems from the fact that they've thrown all their eggs in one basket and they've thrown them all into Verstappen. Now, they say they give equal parity to their both drivers, but it's set up, the team is set up to push Verstappen to the World Championship. That's what they think is going to happen. That's what they want to happen. They see him, and they're not giving enough credit to the likes of Albon, Gasly, you know, to let them grow and mature. So maybe they've thought, we'll stick with Albon to the end of the season because we got heavily criticised last year for swapping out mid-season.
Yeah.
And not giving Gasly enough time to come forward, because look how much Gasly's come on going back to Toro Rosso.
True.
And so the programme works. The drivers are there. They just want... Instant driver. That's what they want, and that's what they want. But they're not giving them time to settle into the team, make the mark in the team as a driver, get to go their engineers. I mean, I know they say, well, the engineers have come up from AlphaTauri. But it just needs. It's a different way of working at Red Bull than it is at AlphaTauri. They've got two different total setups.
Yeah.
Although they're all under the Red Bull banner, Franz Tost does it completely different than
Christian
Horner at Red Bull. They have a different way of working. And
would you say, Derek, do you think the Red Bull have maybe just got, like you mentioned there, Red Bull obviously putting all the baskets in, all their eggs in the basket of Max Verstappen?
All baskets and all eggs, yes.
Baskets and all eggs. So.
Yeah,
but the simple fact is, surely Red Bull know how to win a world championship. They've done it before. They know that they need a strong number two driver. And this chopping and changing and bringing in drivers and not giving them the opportunity it's hamstrung them the past three seasons. And I can't see it changing in any way, shape, or form. That's maybe why they want to hold on to Albon. But if Albon's not got the confidence, and that car is so hard to drive, maybe the hope is hold on to Albon to 2022 and he'll come good. But to a certain extent, we know Red Bull's not going to win the World Championship next season. Let's be completely honest. You'd probably put your mortgage on Mercedes taking that. Ferrari, if they pull something out of the bag, maybe are challenging some of the races. But next year should just... It's disappointing for us as viewers and people that commentate and watch it and enjoy the sport, because next year, although they're changing the aero and they're doing this and they're doing that and the next thing, it's not enough to actually change what will probably be the major outcome. It may change the midfield, but it's not going to change anything else. Do you feel that Red Bull really should get Perez in that car so they can get a benchmark to see what, if we bring in an experienced driver like Perez and put him in that car, and he can't keep up with Max, then we know it's a fundamental problem with the car needs to be changed to make it easier. Because otherwise, we're still just going to have one driver in a championship, and we'll never win the world championship because of it.
The trouble is, the car that they've got at the moment, at the end of next year, stops. And they bring in a new car with new aero, new everything, new designs, new caps, new everything. So it's like they're going to start with a new car for the next season. So it doesn't matter if they bring Perez in next year. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the year, any information they gain from that and, you know, making the team work better just won't transfer to the new car in full amount, because it's they'll just probably have a set of new drivers. You know, so new second drivers,
yep,
for the year after. And if they're only offering Perez a 12-month contract,
yeah,
I mean, he might take it because he's probably getting a big payout from Racing Point. And so, you know, he'd make a couple of bob and then go and sell tickets to Mexican circuits for the next 50 years. You know, Perez, the greatest Mexican driver ever. Maybe not, but you know, but he,
so cynical.
You know, I don't think they'd give them a three-day holiday in Mexico City if he dropped dead tomorrow, sort of thing. You know, but the same way as they did for Maradona in
Argentina,
sort of thing. You know, so it's a difficult one.
If you had to look into your crystal ball, Derek, let's be honest. I'd like to see Albon stay because I think he's got the potential. We said at the start of the season, but we know how Red Bull work on these things. There's every possibility that Red Bull are seriously thinking about kicking him to the curb. Even if they put him in a test role for 12 months, I think that would actually be better, retain him in the team and then bring him back for 22, which would dictate what contract Perez gets. But looking at your crystal ball, can you see Albon there as a number two driver or competing against Max in 2022 onwards?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely. I can see Albon still being there, actually.
That if I'm in the team, that they might as well take the pain next season, because it's not going to make any difference on where they finish. And if he improves, or they manage to improve the performance of the car over the winter, then if anything, you want Albon in the car for next season. So, and it'll A, look better for Red Bull, and B, it'll save them any money that they'll have to give to Perez anyway. Talking of Red Bull, one question I wanted to talk to you about, Derek. See, Max Verstappen and Charles Leclerc swap positions. The performance of the Red Bull and Max this season has been, it's been good in places, great races, second race at Silverstone. If he could calm down, because I feel this season he's went back a bit. He's went from being a quite a level-headed driver and making the right decisions at the right time for the past or last season, and then we get into this season and it's either frustration or that temperament has just got back on top of him. We've heard it in the radio messages and we've seen it in his racing. Do you think if Leclerc was in that Red Bull that we'd be talking about a much closer championship?
Yes, I think if Leclerc was left to drive a Red Bull, he's got a more level head than Max. Max is an unknown quantity when he loses his cool. He gets very frustrated, and he gets frustrated on the track, you know, and slides sideways and comes off the track and doesn't hold his position. And I think Leclerc would manage to. Just drive the car better. I think he's a better driver. He just hasn't got the car under him at Ferrari at the moment because he's driving the socks off that terrible Ferrari.
Yep.
And he's doing very, very well with it. So,
Unfortunately, the performance this season of that Ferrari has kind of put Leclerc's stock back a bit. But I think anybody that's watching, like ourselves, and even though the performances aren't great, they are actually, they're there, and if anything, they're a lot more consistent, and it goes to show the type of driver he is. Between Max and Leclerc, if we take Hamilton out of the equation, say Hamilton retired at the end of this season, don't think it's going to happen, but say he did, and none of them moved to Mercedes got Russell in or whatever, and we then had a straight fight between Max, Leclerc, and say Bottas became the sort of lead driver. Out of the three, who do you think would actually take the championship?
Russell. No. Sorry. I would say Leclerc. If there was a straight battle between them, I think Max or Leclerc to win the championship, if Lewis retired, I would say it would definitely be Leclerc would go through. Even though the Red Bull is so much more superior and all that, I just think that consistency and reliability and level-headedness, Charles would do it, unless he did what he did in Azerbaijan and slammed it into that wall and went, oops, sorry, that was my fault, you know.
Everybody makes mistakes.
But yes, his sort of thing was, oops, sorry, that's my fault, where I think Verstappen would blame everybody bar the kitchen sink, you know.
Yeah, and he would effing blind his way to that and so on and so forth. Hey, look, I like Max Verstappen, but I think if he just turned it down for being 12 to 11, he could maybe become a better driver and be more consistent. But do you think, Derek, this season, the frustration that's coming out of him is because he knows full well that that Red Bull, it's not going to win the championship. He's driving race, he's rounding third. There's a gap, a half a minute gap in front of him, a half a minute behind him. And he's kind of an autopilot. Yeah. He's just doing what he's doing. I think that's maybe more where a lot of the frustration's actually coming from. Franz Tost had said a couple of weeks, I believe it was actually, yes, two races ago, it was at Imola. We'd mentioned driver caps, and this was mentioned to Lewis Hamilton. Now, I was quite surprised by Lewis's response about Franz Tost, which was,
who's Franz Tost? What does he do? You know, what's
he in the media? Is he with Sky?
Is he a reporter? You know, but it was quite an amusing exchange that, you know, that Lewis didn't happen to know who Franz Tost was. But he's not within his bubble. He's not, you know, sort of thing, you know. And then he got told at the end and he went, oh, is that who that is? Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah, you can just imagine it, can't you?
We mentioned driver caps in the past on their salaries, and I think we're both of the agreement that it probably wouldn't work for the same fact that although in America, a lot of the sports across there have got salary caps, they usually adhere to those salary caps. So they go, here, Lewis, here's 10 million, that's your salary. But in the background, there's sponsorship and so on and so forth. And at the end of the day, they're still paid the 30 or 40 million a season that they would have got otherwise. Yeah. So they might as well at least be upfront and honest and say this is what they're getting paid. Whether they pay the tax in the UK, etc. or not is a completely different matter that these drivers obviously look at. That's why they all live in Monaco. That's kind of it, Derek. Looking forward to the weekend. We're doing this obviously even before FP1, which should be at 11 a.m, which actually should have started 5 minutes ago.
And it did.
It did. That's why Derek's got it on. And then FP2 is at 3 p.m. today. Now, we've obviously got a bit of time difference, so they are moving into cooler track temperatures and into the evening as we get towards the 2 p.m. time, UK time. And then tomorrow, 11 a.m. for FP3, 2 p.m. for qualifying, their GMT times. And then Sunday, 10 past 2, evening race, spotlights on, duel in the desert, whatever you want to call it. How do you see this weekend going, Derek? Hamilton and Mercedes should be on the beach. We know Hamilton will probably not be in that situation. Bottas will try and be building ahead of steam for next season for Bottas 8.0. The midfield battle is going to be raging. We've got sand on the track, possibilities of rain and thunderstorms. And mixed in with all of that, we've got Vettel, who's been on the beach for the whole season, actually at the beach. Well, not really, I just don't know, in the desert, but I'm sure they've got a wee oasis. Technically, it's a beach.
Yeah, water here and there, you know, with the rain, you know, the puddles. Yeah, we'll count.
The thing is, even if it does rain, I can't see them. They might move to intermediates for a couple of laps and it'll probably dry out, but it's certainly time of the year. It may throw up some interesting race, and if it does, chuck it down for a wee bit.
I think it's going to be an interesting race because Mercedes won't be committed 100%, 110%. They might be 100% committed, but they won't be 110% committed. They will be just having fun. They'll be doing experiments. They'll be, you know, they'll be saying, "Oh, if we try this, you know, we'll see what that does." We're not really that bothered, you know. We can, you know, we'd like to win it, but if we don't because we've tried that, that'll be fine. I think the ones that are going to be trying it are the midfield battle, you know, the Renaults, the Racing Points, the McLarens. That's just going to be all out duel in the desert. That's definitely going to be a duel, maybe triple, whatever triple version of that is, you know, but a triad. Yes, that's what it will be.
The amount of money that is actually up for grabs for these teams, and I know we're writing off Ferrari because they're 26 points off a Racing Point. However, they are only 6 points off a Renault. So they could at least move up. And to be honest, Renault have promised so much this season. To be finishing so far off the pace on points would be really disappointing for them. But I think actually these next three races are going to actually suit Renault's engine. I think it's going to suit their drivers. I genuinely think out of the three teams there, I think Renault's actually got the strongest possibility. We spoke about it before, we made our decisions. I'd like to see Ricciardo actually do well, but I think Ocon's their weak point.
I think Ricciardo's got the opportunity to sling one down the inside on this track.
Yeah,
and if his car is reliable, he will do really well this weekend. I think
yeah.
It's a track that suits him. It's a track that makes him all right. Sorry, moving back to Hamilton, but Lewis now will be the only driver to have completed every lap in every race this season. If he manages the next three, he'll have done every lap. But there is the opportunity now for him to say, "I don't need to. You know, I don't need that. I can miss all these three races. I can go home."
Well, look, they're only doing 17 races this season, so in comparison to the normal sort of 22. If anything, they should be maybe that bit more refreshed. And these last three races for Hamilton, he should be on the beach, you know. But Hamilton on the beach is still probably going to beat most people on the track between equipment and performance. Well, that's pretty much it, folks. Join us over the weekend. Podcast tomorrow will be at the later time of 10 o'clock at night. And on Sunday, we'll be looking at about 6:30, 7 o'clock. When it'll be posted and available. So join us then. There's nothing else for me to say except it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. Stay safe, take care, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
This has been a Beautycat production for DNF1.